G-minus 48, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. As Henry McCarthy continued further into the living room, which contained several more bodies, human and otherwise, than he had expected to encounter on his arrival, ICA Chairman William Godfrey moved away from the couch and looked at the rest of the group. "And I have some damn catching up to do, too," he lamented, referencing Henry's comment from seconds earlier, but adding a great deal of frustrated emphasis. "Just what the hell is going on? How can you all talk to each other and them without even speaking? How do you all have these damn powers? I thought Geller was talking out of her arse with all the hysteria she's been whipping up on Blitz about the messenger's telepathy being used by humans, but now you're demonstrating it right in front of me. Have you been listening to my thoughts, too? I'll bet you bloody have, all of you." Having kept his frustrations to himself until now, Godfrey's sudden explosion of concerned anger was somewhat understandable, since it came when he first considered the implication that the others might have been not merely leaving him out of their silent conversations, but also eavesdropping on his own inner dialogue. Emma, keen to nip this in the bud right away, turned her back to Godfrey and lowered the collar of her sweater to let him see the striking extraterrestrial patch that sat on the back of her neck. "These devices grant us a temporary ability to silently communicate with the messengers or with any other humans who are wearing one," she explained. "We can only hear thoughts that we consciously send to each other, and we can't hear any thoughts from anyone who's not wearing a patch, unless they have the full-blown uplift powers like the messengers do. But you? No. No one except the messengers could hear anything that's in your head, even if we were interested." "So why are you all so insistent on cutting me out and leaving me in the dark?" Godfrey asked, the bulk of his confusion gone, but the totality of his frustration very much still present. "What's the secret?" "There's a lot you don't know," Dan said, stepping forward to interject. "There already was before today, and I was going to tell you most of it at our meeting in Argentina, but Leisha told us something this morning and Sacco has told us more this afternoon. There are challenges and problems on New Kerguelen beyond anything they've ever seen." Godfrey nodded, glad to be getting somewhere. He turned to directly address the aliens. "Leisha, Sacco, I understand that you trust Dan and Terra more than you'll ever trust a politician such as myself," he said, knowing full well that they could understand everything he was saying despite his lack of a patch. "And I'd be lying if I said I don't understand why. But as you saw when we all believed that your great shelter had to be repaired to protect you from a supposedly hostile environment, certain kinds of logistical support to deal with your problems can only be provided via a concerted response spearheaded by a man in my position as head of Earth's sole legitimate point of diplomatic contact. I have never betrayed your trust, and I can assist in providing any kind of help you need." This passionate plea for inclusion, made by a power-savvy man who rarely let any of his desires be known, took several of his audience aback. "It's not just about what they've told us," Emma said, herself particularly surprised by how candidly Godfrey had spoken. Something about his openness was more humanizing than the far more careful and considered manner in which he normally conducted himself. "And if Dan's okay with it, I don't mind at all if Leisha and Sacco want to talk to loop you in on everything that's happened on New Kerguelen since that night when Dan and Billy went up there. The reason I've frozen you out while we've all been talking about it is that there are other things, too. Personal, family-related things that aren't for your ears." Godfrey's eyebrows furrowed. He was glad to hear that some knowledge of what was happening wasn't far away. Dan would surely allow him to converse with the messengers, after all. But the notion of those messengers somehow being involved in a McCarthy family problem confused him all over again. "Hold on," the ICA chairman said, a change in his expression reflecting a sudden and unsure realization. "Is there something wrong with the baby?"